So at 7:22, my friend Bart Haxton, he is the director of the Jackson County Health Department and my guest this morning. Bart, it's good to talk to you again, man.
Good to talk to you as well, Tom.
You know, and it's better to talk about this subject, the vaccinations. You know, here's one thing that I'm kind of fascinated with, the categories, 1B, 1C. Can you tell me a little bit about those categories and how they affect the vaccination process, how this news, and in particular, how people can go find out which category they're in?
Sure, sure. That's certainly a common question that we're getting these days. And so the need for the priority groups comes from there being limited vaccine supply. And so so they develop these priority groups at the federal level, and then the states develop their own COVID vaccination plans, and they include these phases in there so that you're rolling out vaccine to those that they have determined at that federal level should get it first. And so right now we're in phase one, which is further subdivided into A, B, and C groups. And so the A group was healthcare workers and long-term care residents. Phase B, which we're going into now, is those that are age 65 and older, plus frontline essential workers. And so the term frontline is divided from what they're calling other essential workers in phase 1C, which will be the next phase beyond this. So frontline essential workers include first responders, manufacturing, agriculture, grocery store workers, postal workers, the education sector of up through 12th grade, daycares, and I might be missing one there, but so that's
well,
basically
you're
in the
Mark,
B group.
You're missing me.
The media. You're in 1C.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure some media deserves to be there and other doesn't, but that's my takeaway. I know I'm on that list, depending on your definition of media, of course. Now, there's a couple of interesting things. When it comes to these categories, the one that you're talking about that we're moving into today, the 65 and above, I know in Williamson County, they're starting this morning at the Pavilion of Marion at 8 a.m., getting started there. When are you getting started and where?
Well, we actually started yesterday. We held a clinic in Carbondale, and we vaccinated 400 individuals. Some of those were left over from Phase 1A, healthcare workers. But we also saw a lot of first responders, teachers, and senior citizens yesterday.
Now, when you show up at one of these events, you have to have proof of residency, correct?
Well, in Jackson County, we're saying you need to live or work in Jackson County. We see vaccinating those people as protecting our community, whether they live or work here. And so, yes, you need to show an ID to prove your age if you're getting the vaccine because you're 65 or older. Or you need to show us a work ID or some other type of information to show that you are occupied in one of those eligible occupations.
Right, and I know this is also the case because it was included in the Franklin Williamson Bi-County Health Department's press release yesterday that you must either live or work in Franklin or Williamson County in order to receive the vaccine. Proof of residency, employment may be required at time of clinic. So that's how that's addressed. Now, there are some people the vaccine's not suitable for. I don't know much about this, but I know there's been some allergy problems, some people with anaphylactic shock history. What can you tell me about this? That, you know, there may be some, we talk about underlying health causes when it comes to COVID, but there are underlying health issues that may be involved in the vaccination process too?
So there are two vaccines that are approved under an emergency use right now from Pfizer and Moderna. The Pfizer vaccine is authorized for people 16 and up, and Moderna people 18 and up. There are certain individuals that may be more susceptible to things like anaphylaxis following vaccinations. That's part of the screening questions we go through prior to giving a vaccine to find out if they have a history of anaphylaxis after vaccinations, if they're allergic to certain things. And so most of those people can still get the shot, but we at our clinics, we have a physician or other provider who is monitoring people after they get their vaccination. And, you know, it's a 15-minute recommended period for all, and it's 30 minutes for those that have an anaphylaxis history. And so we've got people there making sure that people right after their shot are doing okay and that they're safe to go. home, and so far we haven't had any issues.
Yeah, I think when I saw the CDC report in the early stages of vaccination, 71% of people who had reactions had them within the first 15 minutes.
Yes, that's kind of the reason for that whole 15-minute period, and that's not uncommon with other vaccines as well. But I think people, you know, the more common vaccines that are given, they tend not to heed those recommendations because, oh, I get my annual flu shot, I'm going to get it and go, and that's fine. But with this one, we're trying to get people to heed that advice.
How many people can you vaccinate, Bart?
Well, you know, for us, the limiting factor is vaccine supply. We keep getting the question, why are you only vaccinating people 2 days a week in Jackson County? And the simple answer is vaccine supply. Thus far, our average weekly shipment is 850 doses. And so we're scheduling that many appointments plus some. If the powers that be decide to send us more vaccine supply, we'll certainly look at expanding our clinic schedule.
If somebody's listening right now, let's say hypothetically they're 66 years old and they have COPD and they think, I need to go get this vaccination, where do they start? How do they begin today to get in line for the vaccine in one of these doses?
So in Jackson County, we're using an online scheduling platform so people can get on our website, jchdonline.org, and we've got the link right there to the schedule. People can get on there and make an appointment. I will tell you that it has been a crazy last day or two for us. As we've put these appointments up, they've been filling up fast, so people need to take action to get an appointment right now. Right now, we have every Tuesday and Thursday through the end of February posted on that schedule, and so they'll go online. They'll go through that process of signing up. It tells them what the categories are to make them eligible, and then they're attesting that they meet one of those eligibility requirements. And then they have an appointment, and we send them text reminders and things like that to help remind them of the appointment. And so far that's working really well. We also have people answering the phones here at the health department. If somebody cannot use the online platform, if they're not too tech savvy, we're happy to do that as well. We can get them registered that way too.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because it's come up in a lot of my research on other subjects that people say, well, go to the online, and somebody is maybe 78 years old, failing maybe some type of cognitive issues or unfamiliar with computers. That's very often a barrier. So what's that phone number, Bart?
It's 684-3143.
All right, here's a question that came in on the American Monument text line. What about women and pregnancy and the vaccinations?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And so, the vaccine has not went through a clinical trial on pregnant women. That's not something they have done. Generally, pregnant women are able to get vaccinated. There's no requirement that they, you know, not get vaccinated. We encourage women who are pregnant to talk to their doctor before they do so and get their recommendation. So they can get the vaccination, but they should carefully consider all of the information that's out there.
All right. Now, here's another issue when it comes to this. There, you know, I've done some math. I got some figures from a hospital in Iowa, and I came up with that a single person well-supplied with support can vaccinate about 14.2 people an hour. What's your math show? I think I came up with 14.2, 14.3 an hour using five people breaking for lunch, and I put all these numbers together. That's what I came up with. What are you planning for?
So we can do with four people giving the shot, we can do about 108 an hour, I think, is what is on our schedule. Now, that is somebody else drawing up the vaccine for
right.
those people.
Right.
And all of the other front-end support of greeting people, screening them, handing out forms, reviewing the forms, all of that. So the four people giving the shots are supported by about 20 to 25 other people helping them out.
Very often when people show up for these events, depending on the person, of course, we're talking about here, well, I'm going to get the vaccination. Why would I have to wear a mask? You do have to prep for coming in.
Yes. So masks are required at the vaccination site. We're using a site that has a lot of space to allow for social distancing as well. And so once you get vaccinated, that doesn't instantly give you some immunity to the virus. You know, it does take a couple weeks to receive whatever immunity you're going to receive from that vaccination. And then there's a second dose that comes around. And so with the Moderna vaccine, which is what we have been using thus far, it's 28 days between the two doses. And after the second dose, you know, within a couple weeks of that, then you would have your full immunity that you're going to receive. The other thing is, you know, CDC still has not said that receiving the vaccine prevents you from potentially spreading it to someone else. And I know that sounds a little wonky to people, and I think eventually they will get there, but they're still studying that, you know, whether or not basically this vaccine is preventing you from getting significantly ill. It's not necessarily aimed at preventing you from spreading a virus.
The governor going to be speaking today at noon. What do you expect him to talk on when you take in mind the metrics we've been observing and the numbers dropping?
Yeah, there may be some regions in the state that that can come off of the Tier 3 mitigations and go down to Tier 2. I don't expect Region 5, our region, to be one of those yet, although our numbers have been generally improving. So we're continuing to monitor those. And, you know, going from Tier 3 to Tier 2, you know, lowers some of the mitigation measures that are required, but you know, there's still significant measures that are in place then.
All right, before I let you go, Bart Haxton, he's the director of Jackson County Health Department. What should I've asked you about this process that you need to share with people that I fail to recognize?
Well, I think, you know, people need to understand that what's going on right now are mass vaccination clinics. There's a lot of people being brought through there, and you know, that eventually, and we're not sure when that's going to be, we're hoping it's sometime here during Phase 1B, that the federal government will switch on the program to start sending vaccine to individual doctors' offices and pharmacies, and so that people could then also get vaccinated at those more traditional locations where they're receiving vaccine, and that will help reduce the burden on the public health system to provide these mass vaccination clinics and to make it more convenient for people to get vaccinated.
To schedule an appointment, use this link, covidvaccination.dph.illinois.gov/. I get that right?
That sounds like the state site.
That is.
Is that on our website?
Well, that's just one that I've got from multiple materials.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think the state is basically developing a master website where they'll post all of the local health department links, where so you can look up your county and then you can find out the individual link.